Joshua chapter 9. Verse 1. Now it came about when all the kings who were beyond the Jordan, in the hill country and in the lowland, and on all the coast of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard of it, that they gathered themselves together with one accord to fight with Joshua and with Israel. When the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they also acted craftily and set out as envoys and took worn-out sacks on their donkeys and wineskins worn out and torn and mended, and worn out and patched sandals on their feet, and worn out clothes on themselves, and all the bread of their provisions was dry and had become crumbled. They went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a far country. Now therefore make a covenant with us." The men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you are living within our land. How then shall we make a covenant with you?" But they said to Joshua, "We are your servants." Joshua said to them, "Who are you and where do you come from?" They said to him, "Your servants have come from a very far country, and because of the fame of the Lord your God. For we have heard the report of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, to Og, king of Bashan, and who was at Ashtaroth. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, 'Take provisions in your hand for the journey, and go to meet them, and say to them, We are your servants. Now then, make a covenant with us. This our bread was warm when we took it for our provisions out of our houses on the day that we left to come to you. But now behold, it is dry and has become crumbled. These wineskins which we filled with new wine, I'm putting words in, and behold, they are torn. And these, our clothes and our sandals, we are worn out because of the very long journey.' So the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. Joshua made peace with them, made a covenant with them to let them live, and the leaders of the congregation swore an oath to them. It came about at the end of 3 days, after they had made a covenant with them, that they heard that they were neighbors and that they were living within their land. And the sons of Israel set out and came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Chephra and Beeroth and Kiriath-Jearim. The sons of Israel did not strike them because the leaders of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. And the whole congregation grumbled against the leaders. But all the leaders said to the whole congregation, "We have sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and now we cannot touch them. This we will do to them, even let them live, so that wrath will not come upon us for the oath which we swore to them." The leader said to them, "Let them live." So they became hewers of wood and drawers of water for the whole congregation, just as the leaders had spoken to them. Then Joshua called for them and spoke to them, saying, "Why have you deceived us, saying, 'We are very far from you,' when you are living within our land? Now therefore you are cursed. You shall never cease being slaves, both hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God." So they answered Joshua and said, "Because it was certainly told your servants that the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land before you. Therefore we feared greatly for our lives because of you and have done this thing. And behold, we are in your hands. Do as it seems good and right in your sight to do to us." Thus he did to them and delivered them from the hands of the sons of Israel, and they did not kill them. But Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord to this day in the place which he would choose. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we learn a lot from the children of Israel. A lot that we learn is on the negative side, things we should not do that they did, things we should learn from that are mistakes that they made. And Lord, we certainly would rather others make the mistake and we learn from it than we make them ourselves. But Lord, may we be wise to them, for Lord, it is truly typical of human nature to see and to do what we see done here. So we pray, Lord, that we would be wiser and learn. In Jesus' name, amen. When we become toddlers, 2-3 years old, say, we, without knowing what we're doing, we assume things that we shouldn't really assume, but we don't know any better. For example, a toddler assumes the stove will not burn him if he touches it. But that assumption may be without basis. A toddler assumes if he walks near a ditch, he won't fall into the ditch. Just toddling, you know. But that also, not necessarily a good assumption. If he rushes up to a dog lying on the floor, the dog's not going to bite him. But that assumption also, not necessarily a true one. Sequoia ran up on the friendliest cat, one of the friendliest cats we've ever had when she first came, lived with us. And she got a nice fang through the hand from it. Assumption does not make for safety. Well, that is understandable. But that toddler begins to grow and learns about things and learns not to make assumptions about certain things. So he's careful. You know, once bitten, twice shy kind of thing. So once he is bitten, now he's got a little bit more wisdom and doesn't assume. Something happens. As we get more steady on our feet, we get more confident in the way we live, we know more, we begin to assume again as we get older. Teenagers, late teens, early 20s, we get to be adults. And the assumptions become dangerous. We don't assume in the same way we did at one time. But we begin, unless we are helped by the Word of God, we begin to assume things about the world and about God and about eternity and all kinds of things which are nothing more than our assumptions within ourselves. We assume things like God would not judge people for their sin. We assume that if we love someone, it would not be wrong, whatever relationship we had with them. We love each other. That can't be wrong, Arnold said to Frank. People feel these things. People feel that something is right, and therefore they assume it's right. They feel that this will be good, so they assume it, and they do it based upon that assumption. And that's when it's dangerous, because then people develop a worldview that is godless. Technically, there is a difference between assume and presume. When you assume something, you are assuming something that has absolutely no foundation for the assumption. Assumption is less thoughtful in the sense that you have no reason whatsoever. You just assume without any reason. Presumption has a reason. If you see a pretty girl, you're a young man, you see a pretty girl across the way, you've never met her, you don't know anything about her, but you automatically decide that you assume she would probably be open to a relationship with you and maybe to marry you someday. That's total assumption. If, on the other hand, you look across the room and she's looking at you and she bats her eyes a couple of times and smiles, Well, then you're in the area of presumption. Because now, she's kind of led you on a little bit, even if it's just a batting of the eye, she may turn out to be that she had something in her eyes. And she's nearsighted and never saw you. So that's the presumption part. But either way, you are assuming something, you are taking something for granted as true, whether it's assumption or presumption. As a toddler, there's no sin there. You just don't know any better. As we get older, though, we know better. We're responsible. And yet the whole world seems to operate on the basis of assumption and presumption. Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25 say the exact same thing. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Twice. I think the Holy Spirit wants us to see a point here that we tend to see and to do according to what seems right. It seems right. All the things the world is doing right now, all the morality of the world, all the sexual morality, all the gender morality, all the other philosophies of life, the world considers it all to be very reasonable. It seems to be right. And yet, it says here, it's not just a little bit of a mistake. Its end is the way of death. It's not innocent. A toddler tips over and falls down a bank and probably cries a little bit, and hopefully learns a lesson. Someone older assumes these things and falls into hell when they die. It is not inconsequential. What we have here in Joshua 9 is assumption. And total disregard to God's guidance and leadership. And so what they end up basically saying is this seems to be the right thing to do. And how do you get there? I mean, especially a nation like Israel, how do you get to where you would assume or presume instead of thinking it through and confirming? Some are just, as they get older, without any foundation in absolute truth. They just coast. They coast through life. They get older. They get a job. They get married. They just coast. They're not thinking about anything. They just coast. Once it starts, it just never stops. It's never revisited. It's never thought through. I guess the best example of this would be a government program. Once they start, they do not stop. They don't come back and rethink it. There's still laws on the book about spitting on the sidewalk. I mean, you never go back. There are old laws. They never go away. And so some people, they start their lives, they just go on as though it's the way to live, and they never question it. And they live their lives by assumption. Like the lady who cut the ends off the ham. She never knew why. It's just because her mom cut the ends off the ham. And turned out the mom cut the ends off the ham because the pan was too small that she had when she was growing up. And so she just did that because her mom did it. There was no basis for it. It was an assumption without any kind of foundation. Sometimes we assume because we take the word of someone else who pretends to be an authority, but they're not. When we, in the morning, look and find out what the weather's going to be, we are, if we listen to it, we're assuming that they know what they're talking about. And we dress this appropriately. It's not always accurate. But we are in more serious areas listening to what people say. God's not going to judge you if you have a sincere heart. God's not going to be disapproving of your actions if you really are sincerely in love with this person. It's just, there's so many ways we justify these things according to feelings. Someone else says it's okay. Some Hollywood celebrity says they do it. Must be okay. Preachers can do that. You assume they know what they're talking about. Teachers, you assume they know what they're talking about. So-called scientists, you assume they know what they're talking about when they don't. Unless it's checked by the Word of God. And thinking's hard work. People don't like to think. Oh, we think all day. We got to think at home, too. It just, then our minds relax. You know, our minds are never able to relax from the truth of God. We can surely relax from work, and we can relax at home. We can, you know, sit back and watch another episode of Star Trek or something. Let your mind. Andy Griffith. You need that. But you can't ever make your mind go into neutral and not think about what you're doing and what's trying to be done to you. The devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We're to be steadfast. And sometimes people just don't want more information because they want it. They know what they want to do, and they don't want to hear about why they shouldn't do it. So they assume on purpose because they want to do what they've decided to do. And the world contaminates us. And remember, Lot was in Sodom, and his mind was corrupted by what he found in that place. And common sense is very uncommon. But sometimes that's all people go on, what is common sense to them. And if we think it's common sense, then it must be right with God. And that can lead to a lot of bad things. And here is what they did with Joshua. They just assumed these people were above board. They came in there flattering them. Oh, we heard about your God. Oh, we heard how great he is. And we've come from a far country because we want to join ourselves to you because of the greatness of your God. And they said, wow, that really is nice. I like that. They had moldy bread, worn out clothes. They were tired, and they were so insistent that they were from a far country and that they were there to serve them and to worship their God, and that they were in awe of them because of the things that they had done, the things the Lord had done in Egypt and beyond, and how they had killed these enemies, and they've taken Jericho and Ai. And when all the nations heard that, they started getting a conglomeration of nations to fight. We see that in the first two verses. But the Gibeonites, they took another tack. They decided they would try to make a covenant with them. And the only way they could do it was through deception, by saying they did not live in the land, but they trekked out a long way to come there to present themselves to them that they might live. And so, after they made their presentation, verse 14 tells us, the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. Why not? In that day, asking counsel of the Lord was a much different thing than today. Today we ask counsel of the Lord, we pray, but the counsel of the Lord comes in His Word. God has said it in His Word. That is God's Word speaking to us. That's how we find out whether something is right or wrong. A lot of people say it's outdated. They won't trust it. That's an authority issue on their part. That's their problem. But the Word of God is in the Bible. So we want to know if something's right or wrong. We look in the Bible. It doesn't tell us if somebody's trying to trick us. In this case, they were able to speak to the Lord, and the Lord at times talked to them. To Joshua. We've seen that several times in Joshua. It's a different time. The Word of God was not like we have it now. God spoke in that way. And Hebrews 1 tells us God spoke in various ways, various times, different people to present the Word to Him, and now He's spoken to His Son. So, all they had to do was say, Lord, are these people what they say they are? And the intimation here is, the Holy Spirit inspiring Joshua's words here, is that they should have asked counsel of the Lord and they would not have made this mistake. We also do that to gain peace from the Lord, but peace that comes from the Lord is never going to be against His Word. A lot of people I've found find out the will of God and they have peace about it, but it's not in the Bible that way. It's against the Bible, so their peace is a false peace. I've just seen that too many times. They didn't ask. They assumed that, and actually it would be a presumption here, that they were who they said they were. And so the leaders made a covenant with them to let them live, and they swore an oath to them. And they said, oh, we love the Lord so much, and we'll take our leave of you right now because we know you have fighting to do, and we don't want to be anywhere near that when that starts taking place. So we'll just head off somewhere out in the wilderness. And they went back and found out that, you know, 3 days' journey, and they were living in the land. And then they went to them. And the people wanted to bust them up good because they had lied. And yet, verse 18 says, they did not strike them because the leaders of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord. And the whole congregation grumbled against the leaders. You know, a lot of grumbling comes against leaders that is not justified. People grumble because they grumbled against Moses because they were having a hard time. That's mostly what we see when people grumble. In this case, their grumbling was justified. The leaders did not seek counsel of the Lord. They made a mistake. As the representative of the people, they made a mistake. And now the people are bound by a mistake that the leaders made. Now they can't undo it. They can only mitigate it. And so they said, we can't kill them. They would have been killed. They knew that. But now we can't kill them. We'll make them our servants. So they made them hewers of wood and drawers of water. They made them do the grunt work for the temple. They made them slaves, and that would be forever, they said. And, you know, when the Lord brings about where He places the temple, they'll still be in that place. And so they said, well, what else were we going to do? If we hadn't have done this, we'd all be dead. And so they let them live. All of it was presumption. You know, they went into Jericho. They marched around the place. They followed the Lord's exact instructions, and the wall came down. The very next place, Ai, they violated the will of God. They were defeated, both in presuming that they had enough people with just a few thousand to take the city because they were the power. And, of course, Achan sinned by taking the things under the ban. Well, so they fixed that. And then they went against Ai and won a great victory, and now we're in chapter 9, and they're back again stumbling. Make a mistake. You know, we are not to be, as people of faith, we are not to be gullible. We are to believe, you know, love believes all things, which means we hope for the best in people. And we hope for that in the Lord. We never hope for it outside of the Lord because we know that will not ever happen. But we have hope that they will be valuable and worthwhile and useful and good. You know, parents hope in their children that way. But we're not to be gullible. We're to test all things. We're to test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. We're not just to accept someone who comes in and says, yeah, I believe in the Lord, without, you know, thorough vetting of them. And yet, sometimes by people being nice, we give them the benefit of the doubt without any basis whatsoever, without any knowledge whatsoever. And many, many false teachers are welcomed into a church by absolutely no good reason, because they just took it for granted. Gave them the benefit of the doubt without any basis for accepting that. What about if a young lady said she was going to go ahead and get married and hope that her husband, she assumed her husband, would straighten out his bad behavior after they got married? How often does that work out? Never. Or a parent assumes or presumes that a school or a college is going to teach their kids the truth. And you remember Dr. Belcher pointed out some years ago that at the time, studies had been done. It's the longer a Southern Baptist student stayed in a Southern Baptist seminary, the farther from the faith they got. Which means you're not going in the right direction. Hopefully some of the seminaries have corrected that. I think some have. But you can't assume. You can't assume when your kid goes to school that they're going to learn things that are good and right. You don't check your child. If they go to a public school, they are getting all of the bad things that the world has to teach them. You've got to counter that. Help them to understand, because they're just open to whatever the teacher says. They're not able to think in the way the teacher can, in the school district and the school system. Presuming a church is going to tell you the truth is the same thing. You can't assume it. But what happens is these young toddlers, assuming they're going to be okay, that the world is not going to harm them, they go out, they go climb up, they're 4 years old, they start digging around, they find a hole, got these little insects coming in and out of it. Oh, isn't that nice? Just flying off. It looks like a bee or a fly or something. Just flying off. Let me just dig it up and see what's in there. See, that's what a young person will do to a yellow jacket's nest. But it's worse when we get older, because then we can start adopting worldly philosophies. And we swallow those hook, line, and sinker, and we become worldly. And our whole lives revolve around a false ideology. Some people are actually saying now, they're presenting abortion as something that saves lives. Abortion saves lives. And in our gullible world, people don't use their brains. That makes perfect sense. And they accept it and say, whoa, I was feeling kind of bad for a while there about killing all those babies, millions a year. But if it saves lives, then it must be okay. And people have many idiotic, ungodly beliefs. They say Jesus says things he never said or thought or did. It never entered his mind. We're told that children of Israel did that in sacrificing their children. God said, it never entered my mind. But they assumed that was the right thing to do. When you get that way, it's not just falling into a ditch or burning your hand. It's losing your soul. That's why the Bible tells us that as parents, we're to teach our children from the very early ages about the law of the Lord. Keep the law ever before them. Talk about it when they stand up and walk, when they going somewhere on a trip, all kinds of times. As much as you can. Now, you can't make your children be godly. But you give them the best opportunity that you can to be godly by exposing them to the truth. And you never wait. You never wait for them to find out about religion and God on their own. You never do that. Never. Never. And today we've gotten philosophies and people that believe that a child should choose their own gender. You can't even make this up in science fiction horror movies. And they've come to be convinced by false ideologies that would be the absolute best thing to do. And if you don't do it, you're actually being unloving instead of guiding your child in the right way he should go. This all comes about by adopting a false ideology, a false philosophy. And we don't know it. I'm going to bring some of it out, I think, soon. We just don't know a lot of the things we hear said on TV about oppression, and racism, and sexuality, and all that. All these things flow from an ideology, a philosophy that is not just plucked out of thin air. It comes from a deeper teaching that comes before. And the whole world has swallowed it. Which is why we as Christians must always be seeking the Lord. Never assuming, never presuming, never wandering, never taking something that just seems right to us. Because when you do, and I can tell you this from experience, when a person does that, when a person decides he's going to follow his own way because it seems right, you can take the Bible to them and point the exact verse out to them that would keep them from doing what they're going to do, and they will not listen. It's just because they have set their mind to do what they have decided to do. And they did not seek counsel of the Lord. And here's what happened. Any thoughts or comments you have?